Butterflies would dance on day. Fairy tale time. I like fairy tales. Now this one is called The Girl Who Kept Polishing the Mirror. Now once there was a girl told that her heart was a magic mirror. If she was kind enough, soft enough, and careful enough with the feelings of the wolves she met, they would see their own goodness reflected back and turn into princes. So one day, a wolf blocked her path. He was loud and stepped into her personal space. The girl felt uncomfortable. Her instincts screamed that her rights were being stepped on and that she was uncomfortable. But she remembered the lesson: be kind. Because if you say what you really think, you might hurt his feelings. So instead of saying something like, "Excuse me," or "I need to get by you," or "just move," she smiled. Instead of saying no, the girls apologized for needing to get through. She spent all of her energy polishing the mirror of his ego, making sure he felt liked, respected, looked up to, even as he pressed closer. Here's the ending. The wolf didn't change into a prince. He simply realized that for this girl, his hurt feelings were a key that unlocked her boundaries. He learned that he could use his vulnerability as a weapon to keep her in her place. The girl didn't save him. All she did was lose her way. And I hate that. I hate that. Because I've been that girl. I've been that girl. And people don't realize. We don't realize. Because we don't sit around as families and say, "Hey, what lessons are we teaching when we do this?" And this isn't a knock on people. It's just saying, hey, this, you know, an awareness thing. This isn't something that we do. And maybe we should. In the spaces that we have, where we have girls and boys, think about the lessons that we teach, how we engage with kids, because they're learning. So here's some advocacy tips. Prioritizing autonomy over niceness for girls. Number one, we can decouple kindness from compliance. We often teach girls that being good means being compliant. So I'm wondering if in advocacy we can redefine kindness as a value that definitely includes and centers being kind to oneself. So here's the tip. We can teach that a boundary is not an insult. Saying, "Hey, I don't want to be touched," or "No, I don't want to do that right now," or "I'm not interested. That's a really a neutral statement of fact. It's just saying how she feels. It's not an act of meanness. And we understand that when boys and men say that. We understand that just fine. So here's the shift. Society can move from saying to girls, "Hey, don't be rude," to, "You're allowed to be direct. You're allowed to state how you feel. You're allowed to do that." Number two, reject emotional labor requirements. Girls are frequently conditioned to be emotional shock absorbers for the men and boys around them. This is whether you're the oldest, you're the grandmama, you're the, you know, whatever place you hold in the family. Because then you go to school, and if you're smart, you might miss out on playing a little bit because you got to help this other guy who doesn't have the, who doesn't quite have the concept. And hey, that's fine to learn to help one another. But does anyone consider that you're missing out on playing because you're helping do this? You know, it's fine, but at the same time, what about my playtime? So this is particularly dangerous, though, when it concerns girls who grew up in their bodies or their rights, or even girls when just when they're girls, so that they can be clear about their rights and their boundaries. So here's the tip. We can explicitly state that a girl is not responsible for a boy's disappointment, his anger, or any feelings he has when she asserts a right. And here's the shift. From we can move from think about how he feels to he's responsible for managing his own reactions to your boundaries. He's responsible for that. Number three, centering bodily sovereignty. When it comes to physical space and reproductive rights, politeness is often used as a grooming tool or way to silence dissent. So we can, here's the tip, we can practice the power of no. We can do things like role play to normalize girls getting comfortable with the firm, non-negotiable language regarding physical touch, no, or personal privacy. And I believe, I'm going to get back to y'all on who wrote this, but I don't want to call the wrong author, so I'm probably going to have to get back to you. But it's the... There was an author who talked about in a book I read some time ago, and he said this was back when everyone had landline phones, and he was talking to a predator, and he asked the predator, who took great delight actually in grooming children over the phone and, you know, doing all kinds of sick stuff, right? So he talked to the guy and he said, well, how did you know whether or not, you know, how far you could go, or like how did you even know to do that? Guy says, listen, the kids who told me no, the kids who gave me a firm no, I knew not to go any further with those kids, because those kids are gonna, you know, even if anything happens, those are the kids who are going to run and tell. Those kids are going to give me a hard time, and I don't need that. I need something easy. I need something simple. I need to be able to get my way. And so when I teach parents about, you know, keeping kids safe, that's one of the things I say is we're not going to worry about, you know, how other people feel about their no. We're not going, it's how I taught mine. We're not going to worry about that. Because you want them to know, no, this gate is shut. It's locked. It's a firm no. This child is going to tell. So here's the shift. We're gonna move from, oh, give him a hug to be nice, to your body is yours alone. You do not have to offer access to it for the sake of someone else's feelings. It's not your job. It's not your job. You're not, you know, human beings aren't comfort animals. This is not what we do. One of my greatest delights was one of my little relatives. The parent called me and said, we were in the department store, and she was doing something cute, I guess, in the car. And it was so innocent. And the woman said, hey, give me a high five. And my little relative said, Mama, I don't want to high five her. hey, it's okay. And poor lady, you know, I hope she got it, that she was just, this is just a little girl learning to set her boundaries. That's all she's doing. She's learning to set her boundaries. And people can be mean. People can be cruel when your kids do that. Because I remember we were having that discussion online somewhere, and some woman said something nasty like, that little girl should, you know, not my relative, but another little girl. She said that little girl should have been, you know, she was lucky to get a compliment. That's such a, you know, so rude, so nasty. Like, how dare you? And, you know, personally, I just felt sorry for her, because I know that internally she feels that someone giving her a compliment as a grown woman is lucky. Wow. Okay. And so what if we told little girls a fairy tale more like this? This is the fairy tale of the glass garden. Once there was a girl who lived in a garden, and the garden was made of the purest, most inviolate glass. It wasn't fragile. It was unbreakable. Glass that's unbreakable. But it was so clear that people often forgot it was there. A traveler came to the edge of her garden and demanded to walk through the center of it because the path was shorter. Now, when the girl said, "No, this space is mine," the traveler sat on the ground and wept. He told her, "You're cold and you're mean," that his feet were tired, and that her unkindness was breaking his heart. The girl felt a pang of guilt. She reached for the lever to lower the glass wall, thinking, "You know, maybe I should be kind. What's wrong with me? His feelings are so hurt. Look at him." But wait. Then she looked at the flowers of her own spirit inside of herself. She didn't know this man. She didn't know this man at all. She had never seen this man before. And she thought of her safety, her peace, her bodily rights. She realized that if she lowered the wall just to soothe his feelings, the garden would no longer be inviolate. It could be trampled, not because the traveler was evil, but because he didn't seem to respect the boundary of a space that wasn't his in the first place. So here's the moral. She left that glass wall up. The traveler eventually dried his eyes and found another way. And the girl learned that a hurt feeling is a small price to pay for a garden that remains whole. Thanks for listening.
This is Tanya GJ Prince. Thanks for listening. Y'all be great.